Hey folks, thanks for joining us on the Northwest and the Raw podcast today. In this episode, we sit down with Jared, the owner of Noble Coffee. We take a deep dive into the World Tour blend, which is the coffee that we use at Northwest Raw, and we mix it beautifully with our cashew coconut milk. Jared is quite the expert when it comes to coffee. We take a deep dive into the world of coffee, the industry, his background and history, and I really enjoyed talking to him about his wisdom. He gave me a thorough education on all things coffee. So sit back, relax, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
I was in 1994, I got my first job as a barista and a roaster, and just like totally fell in love with it. I was in college and just like that was my college thing. I really enjoyed serving coffee to other people, but then the roasting aspect of it is super interesting. The international trade aspect of it is super interesting.
Yeah.
History of coffee is fascinating.
I'm sure you could give me like a college education.
There's so much. That's the thing. I've been doing it since 94. So I have just been kind of accruing little bits here and there for a long time.
Perfecting your craft over the years.
Well, and I thought it was just my college job. And then, I became a high school Spanish teacher. And so I, graduated from college and went through the master's program here at SOU and then became a teacher and was like, oh, this is what I'm doing now. And pretty much immediately it's like started missing coffee and missing, frankly, just serving people. It's really fun to make. It's like when you make dinner for somebody or, make cookies for somebody.
Check out my new recipe. Let me show you what I can do.
100%.
Tell me what you think about this new thing.
Well, to make people smile, right? Like if you serve somebody, if you make somebody a pie and they like it, that feels really good. Mm-hmm. It's creative and social. And so, to make somebody a drink feels exactly the same way. And, when you're a barista, you just get to do that. I mean, we make
all day
300 drinks a day, so you get to do it all day long. So it feels really good. And as a teacher, I was a high school Spanish teacher, so I was like forcing 16-year-olds to speak another language all day long, right? So they didn't want to be there regardless. And I like to think that that I did a pretty good job, and a lot of the students still contact me today and thank me. So it's not
that's cool.
It was great. And I really enjoy languages and, it really dovetails actually into coffee very well. I just really missed the simplicity of, there's also something about roasting coffee that's very tangible, right? Like teaching somebody languages, you don't see any difference on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. You can kind of know like, at the beginning of the year, this is this person's ability
it's a
level.
The progress is really slow.
So every day you go home and you're like, I don't know, I think I accomplished something, right?
Yeah, habla español.
Yeah, like pretty good.
Sort of.
Yeah, good try. But with coffee, when you roast coffee, at the end of a shift, you look at all the coffee that you've roasted. It wasn't roasted, now it's roasted, right? And you're like, that's like hundreds of pounds of coffee that I just produced. That's really cool. And what I do now, like in terms of creating relationships with people all over the world, that's like it's tangible. I get to write emails, to people in Kenya and Brazil and Panama.
It's pretty cool to have a lot of international relationships.
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I have like, I get like random, texts from Ethiopia. I mean, it's like, it's really a dream come true.
A special phone plan.
WhatsApp is the phone plan.
Plug.
It's really a really cool industry, and I think that's what brought me back into it from teaching, is just knowing how nice it is to make people happy. There's that, and then just the unending interesting aspects of international trade and all of that kind of stuff. And and then a big passion of ours has always been the idea in the coffee industry. There's this odd belief that that organically grown coffee can't be high quality. And to me, I was like, oh, that just seems silly, right? Like coffee is the number one most chemically laden crop in the world. There isn't anything.
I believe it.
Yeah, nothing we consume. It actually rivals cotton, but we don't eat cotton, right?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say like apples.
Yeah, nowhere close, right? Yeah. Like if you look at how much stuff we put on coffee, it's gross.
Yeah.
Versus organic, which is the antithesis of that. It's like totally in league with nature, and it's like super.
I remember you when I first met you. You showed me a picture of a, I guess, inorganic coffee grow.
Sure.
And it was just like very uniform, very organized in rows. And then you showed me an organic coffee forest.
Well, that's it.
It looked like a forest.
It basically is. That's the goal, really, for all the producers that we work with. Is coffee likes to grow under a canopy of multiple layers of trees. That's what where it's happiest and it grows best and tastes best.
Yeah.
But anybody, and I would suggest anybody go do a Google search if you want to. Just look up coffee farm. And mostly what you'll see is this like monocropped, it's usually rainforest that's been clear cut. Mm-hmm. And then monocrop coffee's the only thing. And then they're throwing, pesticides on there. So the only plants that are alive are the coffee plants, and kind of barely, because they're only being kept alive by fertilizers, right? Testosterone and steroids, basically.
Right.
And then, fungicides and herbicides, I said pesticides earlier for plants, but it's herbicides that kill the plants and then pesticides that kill all the bugs. And also,
I wouldn't have known the difference.
Yeah. Well, and birds. And I mean, it's really awful stuff.
Yeah.
So buying organic, for us since the beginning has been basically like, I want to prove to the world that, you can have amazing coffee that is grown organically. And so our job is to be with organic coffee, one of the best coffee growing companies or coffee roasting companies in the world in terms of quality. And we are. So
sounds like a good mission.
Yeah. And the cool thing is it's worked. So we're actually here we are in, you know, kind of sleepy Ashland, Oregon. And I think most people around here just consider us to be, you know, like, oh, that's just an Ashland shop, right? Well, yeah. We're the number one most award-winning coffee roaster in the country.
Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah. With
that's the crazy, man.
Yeah. With that, kind of, the goal on quality and sustainability.
Yeah. And you have all organic, nothing but organic.
That's right.
Coffee here.
Yep. And certified. Cause some people will tell you like, oh, well it's not certified, but don't worry, it's grown organically. And I've visited farms like that. And, it's you want the certification.
Well, congratulations. That's an amazing certification to have.
Thanks, man.
For sure.
Thank you.
I think that's what, I mean, Northwest Raw only brings in organic, certified organic ingredients into the doors.
Yep.
And so that's why we partnered with you guys. And I wasn't part of the team that decided to bring in your world tour blend, but it's one of the, I never started drinking coffee until I was in my 30s, and which is kind of weird like now to say that, but
I think it happens pretty commonly though. I think there are a lot of people that don't drink coffee for a while and then it, like, for whatever reason. Well, and frankly, most coffee tastes like garbage. So
yeah, I mean, you know, as a kid, I was just like, coffee's gross. Like, I don't like coffee or tea.
Yes.
I prefer a Red Bull.
Sure.
Or a Monster or something just to get that caffeine kick.
Sure.
But then I remember coming in here to one of your tastings, or you call it cuppings, where you had like, I don't know, 60 different varietals of
I think you coffees. Probably came in when we were doing a production cupping. So every roast that we ever do, we taste. So, once a week, we taste all the roasts we did that week so that we can hone in on quality and continue to improve. So, it can be pretty overwhelming.
It was. I mean, I didn't know anything about coffee. So my first introduction to it was you.
Yeah.
And the education that you gave me about the weather, if it's cloudy, it's going to be different. The roasting is going to be different. The place that it comes from, whether it's from Peru or Brazil or Kenya,
sure,
it's going to be way different. So what do you like? And so I just was sipping all these, you know, ice cold coffees because they're just sitting there in their cups.
Yeah.
But I don't remember which one I liked more. I think it was something from the Andes.
I think if I remember, you liked, it was a single origin coffee. Mm-hmm. Which is fun because, you know, most people are introduced to coffee with blends that are like, that are darker. And so more like, you know, chocolate tones, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, a lighter roasted single origin coffee is definitely going to be kind of more fruit forward.
Which I prefer.
Yeah. But that's interesting, right?
Because
and we find that a lot. We find that people will commonly come into our shop and say, hey, I want, you know, the darkest thing you've got. We go, okay, that's fine. We have a couple of things. Let me give you a sample of each one. And it's really common that people will choose the lighter roasted one.
They've just been jaded.
They just don't know. And then what's kind of crazy is that the coffee industry, I mean, I think in a way, like a lot of industries benefit by the consumer being uneducated. Right? Like,
yeah,
you're gonna,
this is sad.
It's really sad. And so we've been, you know, obviously my wife and I are, she was also a high school Spanish teacher. So we have education, you know,
and you've brought that into your business model here. Like you host classes.
That's right. Yeah. That's so we do classes for the public, classes for wholesale accounts, like for baristas that are wholesale accounts, as well as a lot of education for our own staff.
That's cool.
And just sharing like, hey, let's taste a bunch of stuff and let me tell you what's here so that you know what you like.
Right. So tell me about what, I mean, you kind of already have, but is there anything else that makes like Noble stand out above every other coffee business? I mean, you can't just, there's other businesses that have organic coffee. So is there anything else that was the reason why you won that certification, the national certification of like best coffee?
Yeah. So, and just to be clear too, we're the number one, I say we're the number one most award-winning coffee roaster in the country. That's through a program called the Good Food Awards, which there's really not any, you know, in beer and wine, there are like tons of different award programs like all the time, right?
Okay.
Like, yeah, it's easy to get medals. Not easy, but like there are lots of opportunities to win awards in other products. And really in coffee, there's only the one awards program. So in the coffee industry, it's been referred to as the Oscars of coffee. It's like, it's like the thing.
So it's a little harder
to get. Well, and specifically, it's separated out by region. So we compete in the North region is what it's called. And so that's Oregon, Washington, Alaska, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and the Dakotas. So every roaster in that region is who we compete with. Mm. And every roaster can send in two coffees per year. Those all get blind tasted. So you can imagine in the kind of this Northwest region, there's a lot of competition, good roasters.
Yeah.
So everybody sends in two coffees. They all get blind tasted. And then the top five are chosen as finalists.
Okay.
So we sent in two coffees. Both of those coffees were finalists
year.
So two out of the five coffees.
What were they?
A really beautiful Ethiopian coffee called Bentinenka, which, you know, our logo is the lion. It just so happens Bentinenka in Ethiopian means land of the lions.
Oh.
Which is pretty great.
Clever.
Yep. not our name. That's actually the name of the community.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We didn't name it that.
Clever to whoever named it.
Yeah. 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 Coincidental.
So Ethiopian blend, single origin.
Single origin Ethiopian, yeah, naturally processed. So that means that they leave the fruit on as it's drying and so has this really beautiful fruit character to it. And then a Kenyan coffee called Muiri Estate, which is, as far as I know, the only organic coffee in Kenya.
Mm. Another single origin?
Single origin, yeah, lightly roasted. Nice. So we're finalists for both of those coffees, which is really great. And we just kind of far and away, we've been out of the 11 years that the award program has existed, the Good Food Awards, we have 12 finalists in 11 years. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Is it once a year that they do this?
That's right.
When was the last entry?
So that we entered, we sent in our coffees in September, they taste them and then they let us know in, I don't know, like late October or something like that. And then
I think I tried that Ethiopian.
The Bentinenka?
Yeah.
It's,
I think so.
So great.
One of your former employees was telling me, she's like, yeah, this Ethiopian single blend we have, or single origin coffee that we have is incredible. Like you have to try. So she gave me a bag.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
It's special.
Like I don't need to put any creamers in it. No,
no,
no Nestle Irish cream cups or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, you could do whatever you want, but yeah, I would recommend trying it by itself first.
Yeah. I always try to just to get the flavor of it.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was amazing. Really liked it a lot.
Well, you have good taste.
Yeah. Well, thanks to you.
Yeah.
Education. I'm like, yeah, I know what to taste for now.
Yeah. It's, I mean, we get spoiled a little bit because we have such nice coffees that, you know, I mean, our staff kind of is like, oh, this is just like what normal coffee tastes like. And then, you know, and our customer base too. And then you go somewhere else and try to find good coffee and you're like, oh no.
Yeah. Sometimes I will, like I'll, on my way to work, if I'm running late, I'll swing by an unnamed, you know, drive-through coffee shop.
Yeah.
And, it just tastes like candy. Like it tastes like
sugar treat. And well, and different companies have different goals, right? Like there are companies, coffee companies, whose goal is maybe more focused on customer experience than the quality, and maybe, you know, whatever volume or so
I mean, it works, but well, it doesn't taste...
There are a lot of people making a lot more money than us.
But it doesn't taste like coffee is my point. Like,
sure.
It's like, okay, you're selling ice cream, like warm ice cream.
Yeah, basically. With some caffeine in it.
Yeah, yeah, and it, like a pinch of coffee flavor.
Yeah.
But it doesn't... It just doesn't, it's not real.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for us, our goal really is, it's like a good, winery probably doesn't focus on the alcohol content. They're like, no, we're just trying to make things that taste amazing.
Oh,
that happen to be alcoholic. Yeah. That's how we are. I'm like the caffeine content. I don't even think about it at all. I'm like, it's all flavor. That's all we're going for is amazing flavor. And then, you know, of course, our customer's base is like, yeah, that's fine, but I also want it.
I want this to wake me up.
Yes, yes.
Like, okay, well, I can add some extra caffeine tablets if you like.
Yeah, right, right.
So tell me about the World Tour blend specifically, because that's currently the only, I guess, roast that we get from you guys at Raw, which people love.
Yeah.
We add our house-made cashew coconut milk to it, which is a really nice combination.
It's so good.
So tell me about the blend. What's it got in it?
So, the goal of this coffee is really to be, a latte is the word latte. It means milk. So it's cafe latte means like milky coffee, basically in Italian.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, okay, if you're going to have all this milk, whether it be cow's milk or some kind of alternative milk,
oat milk, which is in mine right now.
There you go. What you all do at Raw is like crazy amazing.
Yeah.
That milk is so good.
It is good.
So how do you punch through that sweetness of the milk if you have a coffee that's not bold enough? Just like when you use baker's chocolate in baking, if you're going to do, say, a chocolate cake, right? You don't want to use, just like regular chocolate chips. You need something that's got a little bit of bitterness to it.
Oh, like it'll get lost?
It will get lost.
Gotcha.
Correct. So we have a lot of coffees that I would say like, oh, if you're primarily going to be making lattes, you do not want to use some of these coffees because they would go away.
Oh, I see.
World Tour, it's really like a kind of classic central Italian blend. When you talk about Italian espressos, geographically, the more towards the south you go, the more bitter and darkly roasted they are, and the more north you go. This is kind of the case in Europe generally too. Like if you go more northern Italian, it's a lighter roast. If you go up into Scandinavia, they're really roasting very light.
Is that on purpose, or is that like a climate thing, or I guess a political thing, cultural thing?
Tradition. I don't know exactly, but. But that is definitely the case.
You said southern Italy.
So this is like a central. Oh. And so with that, it definitely does have some punch to it. There's a little bit of bitterness in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the four components that we have in there, we have the base of it is a Brazilian coffee, which is very classic for espresso blends. And the reason it's classic is because Brazilian coffees add a lot of body. They're very chocolatey, very nutty. And we have a really great relationship with a farm in southern Brazil. The farm is called Fazenda Ambiental Fortaleza. And I would highly recommend if anybody wants to check out their website. It's FAFBrazil.org, I believe, or maybe it's .com. But Croce family, Fazenda Ambiental Fortaleza, you can look it up. They are such great people, very, very in line with us in terms of our values of super high quality, innovation, constantly pushing the envelope to get better and better and better, and then really, really, really sustainability minded as well.
Amazing.
Again, if you check out I could go on and on and on about these
guys. Yeah, it sounds like you have a personal relationship.
We do. Yeah.
That's cool.
Their whole family. They're such really cool people. Yeah, I mean, they've been here. They've been in the room.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they came here. It's a husband-wife really kind of at the helm of it.
Mm-hmm.
But as they've moved on in years, their son Felipe, so there's Marcos and Silvia, and then their son Felipe has really taken a lot on. And it's kind of they're really kind of a celebrity coffee family. all over the world, really. They're very well-known.
I love
this.
We're getting such a deep dive educational
background. This is one component, right? Check this out.
So amazing.
So again.
Okay, so we have the Brazilian
base.
So
just to throw it out even more, like just to tell you kind of who these people are and the caliber of coffee we're buying. Uh-huh. Noma is a Danish, is it Danish restaurant? It's been called the number one restaurant in the world multiple times. Okay. So this coffee has been served there, right?
Oh.
Yeah. So like, this is like
family's coffee or a world tour?
The Brazilian in particular.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, by itself. Gotcha. As a single origin coffee.
Okay,
gotcha. We actually happen to be offering it as a single origin.
Gosh,
right
I'm
now too.
Get some, it'll, yeah. It'll be my third cup this morning, but I think it's worth. I need to taste that.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And we've been working with them. I met Felipe in 2011 for the first time, so we've been developing a relationship. And I'm to the point now where I know exactly what variety I want from the farm, and mm-hmm. so
that's cool.
It's a naturally processed red Catuai is what it is, and it's just like it's the best. So there's that.
That sounds amazing. I have no idea what that means. Yeah. I appreciate your education.
Yeah.
Your wisdom.
I won't say any more because I could go off for a long time about that. But and then it has the World Tour blend has naturally processed Ethiopian as well.
Okay.
From southern Ethiopia, from the Guji zone, and that's called Mormora. Is that coffee? It's the name of the estate that grows it. Really fruity. So again, the Brazilian coffee brings chocolatey, nutty, big body. The Ethiopian coffee brings some fruit, some kind of like red fruits, even a little bit winey, like red wine and kind of jammy.
Nice.
And then it has an Indonesian component from Bali, from the Kintamani Highlands of Bali.
Okay.
And Indonesian
That's exciting.
Coffees. Yeah. 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 These are all really cool places to visit.
Yeah. I've never been to any of them, but yeah. Heard lots of good things.
Yeah. Yeah, fascinating. I mean, that's what's so cool too about this coffee is you're drinking every time you drink it, you're drinking from Ethiopia, from Bali, from Brazil, and from Mexico. So Mexico is in North America.
So those are the four components that go into the World Tour.
That's right. Okay. So you've got North America, South America, Africa, and Indonesia. So you've got a
amazing
big chunk of the world.
It's pretty cool
in every sip. Yeah, that Balinese coffee brings like really nice base level, kind of like clovey, earthy. Mm-hmm. Character. And then that Mexican that I mentioned is called Mexican Guianache. That's from Oaxaca. And it's got Ooh. This like nice red apple, raisin, kind of cinnamony.
Yeah. That's so cool. And you created this blend?
Yeah.
How long did it take to like craft this and perfect it?
Well, it's always a work in progress. So, I mean, we created it, you know, at the beginning, when we started the company, we started it in my garage. Mm-hmm. And so I was, you know, roasting and playing around in our kitchen with our home espresso machine.
Nice.
And developing the blends and developing our roasting approach. And then, you know, I mentioned our production cupping, which you were a part of,
yeah.
Which we do every week. And that allows us, because we're tasting every roast we ever do, and we take specific notes on every roast that we ever do.
Very specific. Yeah. I can witness to that.
Yeah.
Like, wow. You guys,
we know a lot. And so then we can
charts and graphs and
yeah. And then, you know, I tell our staff all the time, if we get 1% better every week on the year, you're 50% better than you were after 10 years, you're like really moving along.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like that incremental constant tweaking, and you know, making sure as you tweak that you're not screwing it up,
right?
Not making it worse, that you're actually making it better.
Right.
So I created the blend, whatever, in 2007. Mm-hmm. And then we've just been
constantly perfecting it. That's amazing that you can just like taste something and be like, you know what? This could use a little bit more North American.
Yeah.
Something or North American.
Or let's get, you know, as you mentioned earlier with weather changes, right? Like, oh, it's raining now. Okay. So that's higher barometric pressure. And then that means the air does this, you know, here's a funny thing. I didn't know this until a couple of years ago. Colder air is denser. So each unit of air has more molecules in it when it's cold than when it's hot.
Right.
Well, then when you're roasting in a funny way, it means that you use less heat. Because as you heat up each unit of air, there's more molecules bouncing around when it's cold than in the summer.
Okay.
So
I guess that makes sense.
It
the
does.
Way you're explaining it makes sense.
Yes. Well, now that I'm explaining it to you, it makes sense. But, right. But it's kind of counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
So just as you move on and you keep doing it's I think it's Angela Duckworth, this really great author who wrote the book Grit. I hope I'm saying the right person.
I think I've heard of that name.
Yeah, she does some TED Talks too.
Yeah.
So the idea of nuance for novelty, it's like when you rather, you know, as humans, we get into something and then you're like, okay, well, I kind of have it figured out and now I'm getting kind of bored. You have a choice, right? You can either dive deeper or you can go do something new. And so the concept of nuance and just constantly learning more and more and more about the one thing has been big for us as a company, and just like really, and there's a lot more kind of enlightenment in the nuance than in the novelty.
Do you find that ever causes like tunnel vision though? Like the more you dive into just one thing, you can get a little bit of tunnel vision?
You can. And so, yeah, I think, you know, for us, how do you kind of take a step back and make sure that coffee's not the only thing you're paying attention to?
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I'm talking only coffee to you because that's what you're asking about. But the reality is like, you know, coffee's not the only thing in my life. And I, you know, people call me coffee guy and I'm like, well, not really.
You're
you
like,
know,
there's more depth to me than that, guys. Like,
I do lots of stuff.
Might need to start a side hustle.
That's right.
Show other people what else you can do.
Well, yeah, that's what that's where the Noble Tonic comes in.
Oh, there you go. That was actually the first product of yours that I tried.
Oh, cool.
Was the Noble Tonic.
Yeah.
I learned the first day I met you, I learned that coffee beans aren't beans.
Yeah.
It's fruit.
Yeah, like they're seeds of a fruit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
you know more about coffee than like 99% of it.
Just from knowing you, like literally seeing you two times.
Right.
But then, so the Noble Tonic is the fruit, I guess, inside the, you explain it.
Well,
I'm going to butcher the explanation of it.
No, we call them coffee beans, but it's actually, you know, every coffee bean has a flat side and a round side. Mm-hmm. Inside the fruit, those flat sides actually fit together.
Okay.
Right? And then there's this fruit that surrounds that. It's kind of like if you imagine putting two coffee beans together with the flat sides, then that becomes kind of a sphere.
Yeah.
And then there's a fruit that surrounds that. Fruit is super delicious. And on coffee farms, it just goes to waste. It's composted. And so when you go to a coffee farm and you see that fruit just instinctively as an animal, you're like, I want to eat that. That looks delicious. And then you eat it and you just spit out the seeds. You don't care about the seeds at all.
Yeah.
So when I first realized that, I was like, God, that seems so silly.
Wasteful.
Yeah. Well, and kind of like we're using the thing that, like, what's going on here? Well, it turns out that humans have been eating coffee fruit forever. Who knows how long?
Yeah.
You know, coffee comes from the same place that Homo sapiens comes from.
So as long as we've been around, we've been eating coffee.
Yeah. So whatever your version of history is, right? and then Arab traders went to Ethiopia. They were like, oh my gosh, this fruit's amazing. How do we get it back to, in this case, Yemen? And the answer was, let's dry it and then we'll take it back and then let's make a tea out of it. So still today in Yemen, the number one drink in Yemen is called kisher. And kisher is a tea made out of coffee fruit, dried coffee fruit.
Oh, okay.
Hot tea, and then they add like honey, cinnamon, and cardamom.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if there's anybody else who's doing anything with the fruit portion of the...
Well, and then they had their byproduct was the seeds, which they sold to Europeans.
Oh.
So they sold the byproduct. Europeans got hooked on the byproduct.
Uh-huh.
Right? So much so that the original product now goes to waste.
Gotcha.
Right? So it's kind of this like, you know, centuries. It's kind of flipped. So then, for a long time, I've been like, man, we need to, number one, utilize this fruit that is super antioxidant rich, naturally caffeinated, totally delicious, and going to waste.
Really delicious.
Thanks. So it's going to waste on the farms. And if we can offer producers a secondary source of income, that's a really big, benefit for them as well. So
totally.
Yeah. So anyway.
Crazy, man.
We have two new flavors coming out, by the way.
Of Noble Tonic?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I created a couple of them. We're working on finalizing the can design right now. So hopefully this spring those will be available.
I would love to try.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you could do it. I thought it was just, well, I guess there's different flavors of coffee. So I guess that makes sense. There'd be different flavors of coffee fruit.
Well, and then I mentioned kisher in Yemen has cardamom and it also has ginger. So I decided to create a flavor that is kind of an homage to that. So there's a flavor that's going to be ginger Noble Tonic that has ginger and cardamom in it.
That's cool.
And then one that has raspberry as well.
Hmm. Well, I had one question going backwards just for a second with the World Tour blend.
Sure.
Was it, did Ra approach you or was it the other way around?
That's funny. I kind of can't remember the chronology of this, but I think they were going to use our brewed coffee, and maybe they were. Mm-hmm. And then I said to them, you know, I think you guys could do espresso. And I think that you might want to start, you know, let's start small. Here's this small espresso machine, a single group called a GS3, which is this like really compact, really awesome, La Marzocco is the brand, espresso machine. And we'll start there and see how it does. And I kind of like laid out the numbers for them. Like, okay, if you can sell this many drinks a day, then you can recoup your investment, you know, in 6 months or whatever. Mm-hmm. So let's see what we can do. And they were like, okay, sounds good, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you all do things so well, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for working with Northwest Raw because I think we have so much in common, and our approach to really all of it is very similar in terms of, like, quality, sustainability, great customer service, a really beautiful environment. Mm-hmm. So that's been really nice to work with people who are so in line.
Yeah. Like-minded, same kind of priority, I suppose, just like that family in Brazil.
Yep, exactly. You know? Which has been such a blessing to, you know, I never thought like, oh, I'm going to start a coffee shop and I'm going to have all these cool relationships like that. I just thought I was going to like make cappuccinos for people.
It's a great bonus. The relationships are the best. What drives it, I think.
Yes, 100%. So I think I can remember writing the email to Rachel and Trevor.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And
they've been on the podcast.
Yeah, that's good. That makes sense. Yeah. So just like laying out the numbers like, and trying to, you know, not trying to convince them, but just like, I think this will work. And if like, I'm not trying to twist your arm on anything, but I have a feeling that you guys will implement this well.
Nice.
And really quickly after they did, they were like, oh no, this machine's way too small because of the volume, the demand. Uh-huh. And so we need to up, you know, we need to buy a bigger.
Oh yeah. Wasn't you that sold them on the machine that we have now? The espresso
machine?
Well,
yeah, they came back to us and said, this machine's awesome that you sold us, and we want to stick to the same brand, La Marzocco, it's the best, but we need a two-group espresso machine instead of a one group just because it's going so
well.
We're
making so many coffees.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and now I don't know if you guys talk at all about the future of Northwest Raw and where things are going.
We do.
Okay, good. So that'll be exciting to see with Northwest Raw 2.0.
Yeah.
You know, we're very proud to be partnering with you all on the coffee program. That'll be fun to see how that turns out. I have a feeling it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. COVID has kind of slowed down the world. So
Everything. Things
are kind of slowing down and it's been difficult to purchase the, you know, the espresso machine that we would like.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, that partnership will continue.
Yeah.
And so speaking of COVID, what's it been like running a coffee shop during COVID? Like what are the challenges you've been facing?
Well, the way that our business works is, you know, a big chunk of it is retail here at the coffee house, which if you're listening and you haven't visited us here at our coffee house and roastery in Ashland, you should come check it out. Like that's, you know, maybe 55-60% of our revenue. Wholesale is, you know, around 30%, something like that, 30-35%. And then the website's between 5 and 10. All typical. Okay. So then COVID hits, right? And it's like, it kind of depends on what the newspaper is saying on a given day and how much fear is being instilled.
Right, like how tight people hold onto their wallets.
Just fear, not even wallets. Like how dangerous is it to walk out of the house?
Oh, gotcha.
And because people, what we've found is that people really want to be supporting small businesses if they can and feel comfortable doing so.
Yeah.
And so we've been really trying to be as like super responsible, make sure that, you know, we're doing all the right things and following, you know, regulations and guidelines, but also not being, super crazy about adding to the fear level. So we want to still be welcoming. Like, we're not going to be stupid. We're going to be responsible, but we got that covered. Don't worry about it. Come on in and let us take care of it.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Ashlanders appreciate that too.
I think so. Yeah. And so I feel like because we've been able to strike that balance, our coffee house, frankly, is doing fine.
Cool.
Wholesale, on the other hand, because there are so many other restaurants and businesses that just aren't running, and hotels and all of that.
Yeah.
So our wholesale has been affected quite a bit, negatively. And then our website's gone crazy because everybody's at home.
Right.
So ordering coffee online has really increased a lot.
Nice.
So it's kind of a net in terms of revenue. It's a little bit down, but it could be a whole heck of a lot worse for sure.
You just kind of had to adjust and adapt to.
Well, yeah, before this interview, you and I were talking about, that's it. It's like, when things change, how quickly can you adapt and evolve? And you know,
it's a big deal.
Yeah. Constantly.
I've had to do the same thing, like not to derail the podcast and go personal, but
sure.
Yeah. With my personal business, being a freelancer, I've had to do the same. Just for a while in the summer, like, it really, really slowed down.
Yeah.
People don't, you know, they're not going to want photos taken. And
right.
So yeah, just being adaptable and having to figure it out, but things are picking up.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so much. Yeah. You can't hole up forever.
Yeah. So when Ra put the cashew coconut milk into the world tour, were you like nervous about it? Were you like excited, curious?
I don't really get nervous about anything. I always kind of, anything new, I get excited about opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. There's just, especially, you know, Northwest Raw is good with flavor. So I know they're not going to put out something that doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
To be honest, I mean, I think the first time I tried it, I was just blown away. I didn't expect it to be bad, but I also didn't expect it to be as good as it is.
Yeah, that's a massive win coming from you and your taste buds.
Thank you. Well, yeah, I've tasted a lot of coffee over the years.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, and it's really good. I mean, yeah, I mean, we use organic whole milk here as our default, and I think it's really good. It's from Umpqua, so it's like local milk, organic,
nice
whole milk. It's got some nice sweetness to it, but but the blend that you all have put together is, it's arguably, if not as good, better. It's really, really, really good.
It's a bold statement. I appreciate it.
It's really good, and like you said, it blends so well with the world tour. I mean, the goal for the world tour for us, for our lattes, I tell our staff all the time that ideally the latte tastes like a Snickers bar. Mm. Right? You've got like chocolate and caramel and nutty and then, you know, maybe a little bit of fruit, that kind of dried fruit that I was referring to.
Yeah.
So to put that with the, you know, cashew coconut milk, with like,
it's a good combo.
Again, chocolate and it's amazing.
And neither one really like drowns the other out.
Nope.
I think.
Yep. Totally complements each other.
Well, one last question that I have for you before we wrap up is, I'm curious your favorite way, and this might just be for my own personal curiosity, but
sure.
I'm curious your personal favorite way of consuming coffee, like espresso or French press or pour over, or whatever other way. I mainly do French press. That's my favorite way.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm curious your favorite.
I don't tend to have favorites in pretty much any area of my life, but coffee is so versatile. So the way that you might want to have a cup of coffee in the morning can be really different than what you want to have in the afternoon versus the evening. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy cappuccinos, which is two shots of espresso with, at least the way we do it here at Noble, two shots of espresso with about 4 ounces of milk. So it's like, it's a really, like, there's milk there, but it's not going to overwhelm it. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything. I really like Chemex. I don't know if you've had Chemex.
Yeah.
I love Chemex just because of how clean, like a really great, for example, the Ethiopian Benting Anka we were talking about earlier. It just sparkles in a Chemex. And then French press is really good because I'm drinking a Guatemalan Palo Blanco French press right now, actually.
So it really depends on the coffee that you're consuming and the time of day.
A French press, for example, it's richer. It because of the filtration process, it more of the dissolvable and non, to get chemex, kind of chemistry
about. Please do.
Yeah. Dissolvable and non-dissolvable solids, there are more of them. So there's actually more kind of sediment. There's more of the coffee particles in a French press, and you can feel it. There's more mouthfeel. There's more body. Mm-hmm. It's kind of buttery. And then again with Chemex, with the way that that filter is designed, it takes some of those things out, but then it really accentuates the sweetness and the acidity, the sparkly.
I've noticed that with well, I don't have a Chemex. I just have just one of those Bodums.
Yep.
And I just pour over whatever, and it feels more, just acidic.
Yep.
And honestly, like sometimes more bitter to me.
We should work on that. And that could be like grind size probably is what's going on there. Your grind size might be a little, you might have particles that are too small.
Really? I thought you were supposed to make it really fine for pour over.
So here's a great hint for everybody out there.
I need to hang out with you more.
So every coffee bean out there, you can extract 30% of its mass out. Okay. So you can basically squeeze out 30% of its weight and make coffee out of it.
Maximum.
Oh, yeah. You can't extract any more than 30%. Okay.
Oh, that's
anywhere
sad.
Between zero and 30. Well, it's actually not sad. And here's why. You only want to extract 20%. So once you extract over that 20%, you're extracting things you don't want to taste.
Oh.
So you said bitter, that's probably chlorogenic acid, which is not a good taste. It's actually a chemical that the plant, came up with to repel predators.
Oh, well, it's working on me.
Yeah. It's keeping you from drinking coffee more often.
So I just need to grind it
more coarsely.
Okay. So not as long.
Yeah. Yeah.
I use one of those just manual grinders.
Blade grinder.
Yeah.
Yeah. And eventually at some point you want to upgrade to a burr grinder.
Okay.
Because basically that's the same thing. What you're doing is you're smashing the beans instead of grinding them. So the dynamics of the way that you break up the coffee, when you smash something, you create small particles by definition.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you were to take a hammer, if you were to put a bean on the table and hit it with a hammer, you'd have a bunch of big pieces and a bunch of teeny tiny pieces. There would be no consistency. Oh,
so not as good.
Well, it's not as good for, I mean, the fun thing about coffee is it's like pretty simple, but it's just chemistry. So if you do it the right way, there's a formula for doing it the right way, and you can basically have like the best cup of coffee you've ever had every day.
Yeah.
For as many times a day as you want to have it. But most of us don't have the right pieces of equipment, and it's not expensive. You can get a hand grinder. We have a hand grinder. It's a Hario hand grinder, burr grinder. It's like $40 or $45 or something like that.
Okay.
You know, you could do pour over. I mean, you can for basically like $100, you can get an amazing setup and make the best coffee ever. But there are a couple things you definitely want to do. You definitely want to weigh your coffee, for example. And most people are like, ugh.
I used to weigh it.
Yeah.
I'd get my little kitchen scale and I had the whole all weighed out, and I'd weigh the water as well.
Cool.
And I got this really nice water heater with the gooseneck.
Yeah, yeah.
That I could warm it up
good
to 205 degrees. And
you're
I
there.
Did all the research.
Yeah.
But then I got lazy in the morning. I was like, yeah, I mean, I
get it.
Then I started not weighing it, and it still tasted the same.
Yeah.
Because I was just getting pretty good eyeballing.
Well, I think you've got a lot of pieces in place. I would say, if you can eyeball it pretty darn close once you get used to what that volume looks like.
Yeah.
Burr grinder. Someday.
Okay.
See if you can borrow one. Because
I'm re-inspired.
Yeah.
It is a chemistry. It's really fun to get into it, like dive a little deeper.
Yep.
And I don't know. I mean, you consume it most days, so why not like put the investment in? The ritual is like half the reason that I drink it.
Yes. And just like, obviously, like there are cultures, the tea ceremony in Japan, for example, there's something about, imbuing something with your intention and your spirit that just, it does, it makes it taste better. Who knows what the metaphysics, are to that, but it's true.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your knowledge and your time.
Thanks, man.
Talking to me about this.
Yeah, it's always great talking to you.
Is there anything else that you wanted to plug real quick about Noble?
Not necessarily. I just really appreciate the relationship with Northwest Raw. Not just saying that. I really do. I just, it's been really a pleasure to work with, everybody involved, and just excited for next steps. It's really cool that we've gotten as far as we've gotten, right? Like just opening a business, you know, in general, you don't know if it's going to work. And then here we are, you know, Northwest Raw is how old? 6 years old?
Six and a half.
Yeah. So like, geez, like good job, right? Yeah, like that's not a guarantee, right? The 3 years or 5 years is no guarantee. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're all in the face of some kind of, you know, shaky times,
world phenomenon.
Yeah. Whatever's happening.
Yeah. Something.
You know, we're all moving forward and continuing to do what we do. And what's really exciting is that people respond to it. Like we're still here and people thank us every day. And I am really excited to see where Raw goes, here in Ashland and wherever else.
Well, what's your website so people can know where to go buy your stuff?
NobleCoffeeRoasting.com. NobleCoffeeRoasting.com.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, man. Appreciate
thank you.
It. See what happens with you guys. All the best to you guys.
Thank you very much. Cool.
Thanks, everyone.